Can you say more about the quadrants, in particular, more about how perspectives and pronouns fit into the four quadrants?
When we talk about quadrants, there are, Frank Visser's always saying that I insist there are four quadrants. I've never insisted that, only except insofar as the word quadrant means four. But there can be, in terms of perspectives available to a sentient holon, and I'll talk about what that means in a moment. And I'm going to start by talking about an average adult sentient holon, because it's an entirely separate question. First of all, about how far down consciousness itself goes. And second of all, how far down, therefore, perspectives from a conscious center would go. So we'll deal with those separately. And we'll assume we're talking about the average educated adult human being. A perspective, basically, is sort of any angle you can take with your own consciousness. We find that a great number of these are embedded in most of the mature language systems around the world, and in things like first, second, third person pronouns. So at a minimum, and most languages, I use English as an example, if you look at a first person pronoun, first person means the person speaking. In this case, I would be first person. Second person means the person being spoken to, the person or persons being spoken to, in this case, those of you listening. And third person means the person or thing being spoken about. And most languages divide each of those. There is, in a sense, a fourth and fifth and sixth person. That's also something we get into later. Most languages subdivide those. In other words, there are actual words representing these other relations. Now, I find it very interesting that these are universal or mostly universal, because in my own opinion, they're reflecting perspectives that all sentient beings have and that therefore show up in language. Language wouldn't evolve with words like I or you or they or them or her or it unless there were some real dimensions of reality that were being referred to, or else they'd just be selected out of existence. So I think it's a very, very good way to have a naturalistic orientation towards what previously had to be postulated supernaturally. So we can get the same results, but in a post-metaphysical way. At any event, most languages divide first person into singular and plural. So I is singular and we is plural. And we'll talk about why we put we in the lower left quadrant in a minute. Most of them also divide it into a subjective and objective case. So I is subjective and me is objective. And many of them have a possessive, mine. So I, me, mine, we, us, ours. That's all first person. So, and the same second person is we. There's a subjective and objective, there's a singular and there's a plural. In English, we don't have a good plural for second person. So the Southerners say you all, and Northerners say use guys. I think that's really kind of cute. And then third person is her, him, they, them, it, its, and so on. So the idea that there are just four quadrants is not true. Any of those be included as perspectives. And because it refers to an angle that I or some of us are taking towards them or some of them or you and so on. Or even an angle or perspective I'm taking on my own being. I can be aware of me. I can also be aware of my body and so on. And so we try to include all of those. Now, and in a full-fledged sort of integral approach, any of those perspectives can be used. And we can use first and second and third person perspective, and we can use singular and plural and so on. The analysis I did into quadrants was, if you really look closely at all of this stuff, it really comes down to three types. It really comes down to I, we, and it. And I'm not saying those are the only ones. I'm saying they're the most important ones. And the reason is, for example, if we're talking about second person you, and I and you are having a conversation, if you and I understand each other at all, then we will start to use the word we. So I say, do you understand what I'm saying? And you go, yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. And so sooner or later, a we will start to form. So a you or a thou is very, very important. But unless there's a we that develops, you remain an it. You're as good as a third person. Okay, we are not communicating at all. You might as well be a rock. We have nothing to communicate about. So, and same with third person. If there's a third person him, sooner or later we can talk with him and understand him, in which case he becomes a you and eventually a we. Conversation can occur. If he or she remains an absolute object, then they're an it as well. So, again, I'm not saying there are only four quadrants. I'm saying that I, we, and it are the ones that they all really are the most important, and that most of them tend to shake down into that. So, but it is important to remember that we can get more specific and talk about a thou or a you or a you all and so on. So let me work with I, we, and it as the so-called quadrants. Let me point out that my claim is not that there are four quadrants and that there are different things in four quadrants. My claim is that there's a single actual occasion and that it can be looked at from these three perspectives. Single thing itself can be looked at from an I position, can be looked at from a we position, or it can be looked at from an it position. Now remember, there are others, but it can be looked at in those three. And when you do that, the same thing, it's a little misleading to say the same thing, because that implies it's a singularity. And I'm claiming that singular and plural and inside and outside mutually arise simultaneously once a distinction is drawn. So it's not that there's something in the upper right quadrant. It's that every sentient being has a perspective of it, and that or third-person perspective available to them. In other words, every sentient being, and right now we're still talking about adult humans, can perceive an object. And I'll add another distinction here in just a moment. And I'm saying that every adult sentient being has an I perspective, that every sentient being has a part of their awareness that if they could speak, they would say I. And that every sentient being, because no individual arises on its own, and even in evolutionary biology, there's never a first instance. There's never one duck walking around. Because there has to be at least two to have babies. Darwinian evolution cannot explain this, but they do agree that whole populations just show up somehow. So there's no singular without plural, and there's no inside without outside. So wherever there's an I, there is another sentient holon that is resonating with that, and that's a we. And so that's what we mean by the four quadrants. We make it plural, because that's an important addition, but it's still a variation on it.